All right, well, we're going to go ahead and get started. Welcome in to everybody to iPhone Users Group for VIP Conduit on March 27, 2024. This is our second session of our basic iPhone gestures. And tonight or today, I'm going to focus on the single finger tap and gestures. So I'm going to play an audio file. So, and then we'll open up a discussion. So here goes the file.
Here's a breakdown of voiceover gestures using a single finger on an iPhone, including flicks. Single taps. Select item. A single tap on the screen selects an element, and voiceover announces its details. E.g., app name, button function. Activate selection. After selecting with a single tap, a double tap activates the chosen item, opens apps, confirms selections. Pause, resume. Speaking. A single tap anywhere on the screen. Pauses, voice over narration. Another single tap resumes speaking. Single finger drags. Explore the screen. Drag your finger across the screen to move the voiceover focus. Voiceover will announce each interactive element you touch: icons, text fields, buttons. Single finger flicks. Flick left, right. Single finger. These flicks navigate through the elements on the screen sequentially. A flick right moves the focus to the next element, while a flick left moves to the previous one. A single flick up will move up to the next page if you are on the page element, as well as flicking down will move down to the previous page. Flicking up or down can also adjust the value of an element. For example, while in the rotor, the voice over speed can be adjusted by a single finger flick up to increase the value or single flick down to decrease. Take time to practice these gestures and get comfortable with how they respond.
Okay, that's just an overview of the single finger tap gestures. So does anybody have any questions about that particular topic? So everybody's all familiar with the basic navigation of the single finger? All right, so that's my opening. And what I do now is I will open up the floor to anyone that has a question or has a tip, trick, or anything that or a comment about the iPhone. So floor is open.
Cheryl, I just touched down here at the bottom right corner and it said speed, playback speed. I don't really know what that, I mean, I understand playback speed, but how does that relate to the iPhone exactly?
Where exactly are you inside an app?
No, I don't think so.
I bet it's her music, Shirley. You know how that pops up?
Yeah, it almost sounds like she's into a music player of some sort. And that would show down there if she was, or some sort of a audio player.
Yeah, or the Bard app. There's a speed control on that.
Well, as I swipe left and right, it's just naming off, different items on the phone. So I didn't think I was in a particular. And let me see if I touch it now. Course, now it's not going to say. It still says playback speed. It's about maybe a half an inch from the right corner, bottom corner.
Yeah, sometimes there's a thing that pops up that says speaking bar. And I've never known how I got it to pop up and then how to get rid of it. I wonder if you've got something up like that, Becky.
Try to, what phone are you using, Becky?
This is that 2. I mean, no, what is it? What's the name of this phone, Terry?
Well, it's the iPhone, right? And I'm not sure what model do you have, though. Is it the 2020 or I'm not sure which one you had back yet. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's it. It's the 2020, I think. That's what it is. And it is the iPhone.
What is the purpose of that speaking bar?
That is something I am not familiar with. Do you know, Hank?
Sorry, I had to step away for a second. Do I know what?
What the purpose of the speaking bar is.
I do not, unfortunately. Is that a newer phone thing, or do the older phones have it? I have not seen that.
Where do you encounter that?
Well, I have an iPhone 13, and it can pop up almost anywhere within, you know, when you're reading something from the internet, or it just kind of pops up there.
I'm wondering if that's something to do with your settings, because I may have gone in and turned that off, because I would have found that a little on the annoying side.
No, I've got the 13 Pro Max. I've never seen that, I don't think.
What is it called again? I can look it up.
The speaking bar.
It was popping up on my phone quite frequently, and I have an SE 2020 as well, but I haven't seen it for a while, so I don't know whether it went away with an update or what, but it was really annoying.
Yeah, Chris Ann has it on her 13. Becky had a different thing on her 2020, so I don't know. That's strange. I never seen the one that Becky got, it has to do with the speed and stuff. I've seen that if you're in a audio file or, you know, playing something. But.
Or maybe the podcast thing, too, because that control, you can control speed on podcasts as well, can't you?
Yeah, you sure can. Or if you're on a website going to, like, YouTube or whatever, you can change things in there, too, I think.
Yeah, I'm seeing now on the right. I'm on the left side, speak on touch. Well, I said something else a while ago. Minimize speaking bar. I bet you're right, Cheryl, to go in there and maybe turn that off or something.
Yeah, that I think it did have that come up at one point, and oh boy, that. That will mess you up. I mean, it did me. So I went and found it in settings and turned it off.
I wonder if you double tap on minimize speaking bar, if it would take it away.
Maybe temporarily.
Yeah, I'd probably come back, though. You're right. Yeah, best way is to go into settings and try to find it.
You might be able to tell Siri to search for speaking bar in settings, and it should take you to it.
Oh, that's nice, because I just tapped it again, and it said, well, now it says minimize again. Okay, well, it's just going to say minimize right now. I thought it said expand.
That's an interesting question, and that's something that, people need to know how to get rid of. So I think I did find it in my settings, and you can also ask Siri how to turn it off, and it will kind of give you resources to draw upon to do that. Were you looking for it, Hank?
Yeah, I haven't really found anything useful yet. There's a forum where somebody's asking, but the results that the person got are nothing I can give you guys that I hope.
Well, I've got a question in the meantime. We can come back to it, I guess. When I get a message coming in, text message, I get this alert that the message is coming in, a ding, whatever. But it would tell me who it was from. Now it says nothing. I wonder what I may have changed in there so I don't get to, you know, stop the announcement, but I kind of wish I had the announcement tell me who the message is from.
Did you go into settings under messages and see what all is selected and not selected?
Yeah, I probably could go in there and play around. I just haven't done it. I thought I'd ask here, see if somebody had the answer. I might go in there and just try different things and see what happens. Because that it's kind of nice to know, you know, if it's something important or somebody important that you really need to get back to, it's nice to know who it is.
I agree. When I get a message, I have I have a train whistle as my alert. So all I hear is the whoop, and I know I have a message. So I go, and it's like, okay, who sent me a message? But I have to look. It doesn't tell me who it's from. Or I can do notifications, go and hit the status bar and then bring notifications down with a three-finger swipe. And then it'll tell me what my last notification of messages is, and it'll tell me there who sent the message.
Yeah, yeah. I'll see. Mine's the way yours is right now, but I don't like that because I like to know when it sounds. I want to know who it is right then. I'm nosy, so I'll have to play around with it.
I know it used to, and I enjoyed knowing it would say message from so and so, but it doesn't do that anymore. I don't know if they changed the way the messages work or what. If you find out, let me know, because I would like to have that back as well.
I will do that.
And it's not predictable, because sometimes mine will read a message. Other times, if I'm like reading email, it will give me the sound to tell me that a message has come in. If I'm focused on the messages app, sometimes that makes a difference, that when one comes in, it will say it. Also, it will sometimes come on and say, someone has sent you a long message. And that's it. So you never know what it's going to do. And I have mine set in the settings to, you know, to have all the banners and badges and announce and everything else when one comes in, and you never know what it's going to do.
What if you tried turning that off and then turning it back on again, the banners, sounds, or and all that? I know what you guys are talking about, but I do get the message when it comes in, unless there's a group already on there. And then I just get the sound, and then I knew it was someone who already sent me a message. And welcome in, Tom. Nice to have you here.
Hey, Tom. Welcome in. I noticed that when I'm like sending a message to somebody and then they respond and I'm still in that person's message, it will read it without me having to flick to it. So it's consistently inconsistent at best. So hopefully enough people will complain about it and they'll fix it.
Could I ask you a different type of question, Cheryl?
The floor is open. Go ahead, Rod.
Okay. I was learning, or about 2 weeks ago, I went on my little journey of learning to type on the phone. And then just yesterday, the guy who's given me a hand said it's not, or he felt it wasn't so important that I learn how to type. He mainly wants me to learn how to type my passwords, whether it be for the phone to get into it, or for the app store, or for my bank account. So I was practicing that yesterday, and for my first time switching from the alphabetical keyboard to the numbers keyboard. So just the way I do my passwords is similar to like dog at 123. So I'd go to the alphabetical keyboard and I'd type DOG. Then I'd go down and switch to the numbers keyboard and I'd use the at sign on the second row and 123. And when I hit space and double tap on it, all it would give me was the at 123. Is there something I'm doing wrong? Why I'm not getting the dog at 123 sort of thing?
Now what you can do is go up above the keyboard and it'll read. It's not reading things after the at sign. So that's probably what it is. But if you go up and read the edit field, it'll read the entire thing.
Correct. Yeah, because if you're putting in a website, even my computer screen reader does that. Like if you put www. You know, say, I'll just say AOL to say something. You'll hear .AOL, but you won't hear the W. And then when you get to .com, you hear the .com, but not the rest of it. Why, I'm not sure. Probably because of the period. Also, why are you hitting the space bar if you're typing in a password? Because that's not in the in the password, is it? The space there? Or is it?
That might be a security thing where if somebody's sitting next to you, they can't see what you're typing in your password. So that's why they do that. Not sure.
Hank, I'm just a new person to the iPhone. And so I was practicing typing up until a little while ago. And then usually after each word, I'd hit the space bar and double tap to see if I had gotten the word right. So again, I did that just for my own purposes. And again, I haven't even checked in through my password, so I'm a beginner here. So just ignore that space bar and the double tap, because I thought it would just read me back the password, and I was doing this just for learning purposes.
Well, if you're actually doing a password for real, it won't even repeat it back to you. You'll just hear click or star or something like that. It will not say it out loud. That's also a security thing.
Correct. Okay. Yeah. No, I just did. I thought you were trying to put in a password, so I didn't understand the space. But yeah, if you're just practicing, and yeah, it does do that. It only read at 123 because it thinks it's the next block of text. And won't read before that. So it's going to read the next word or what you're on. And if you go up to the edit field, which is like top center above the keyboard, everything you type will be there, and you can hear what you've written in there, like Cheryl said.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, like I said, I have never put in a password, so I'm just practicing doing it so I can at least do it right without mistakes, so I can put it in.
I have a question, Cheryl, whenever.
Okay, I just want to mention one thing. When you are typing in a password and you know how many characters the password is, it's always a good idea to kind of flick away and then flick back to it, and it'll tell you how many characters you've typed in. I do that a lot to confirm that, oh yeah, my password has 8 characters, there's 8 characters there. So that's kind of a way to double check what you've already input, because it's not going to tell you verbally what you've typed in. All right, Janice, what do you have?
I have a question. We were attempting to set up email on my iPhone. I have a 13 now. And I went to my email account set up on the computer because I was, you know, making sure I had my outgoing and incoming server figures correct. But when I put in the password, it says it's not accepting it. And I'm using the password that I'm using for my Outlook Express email on my computer. I thought that would be what I'd put on my iPhone as well. But it will not take it. And it'll say, circle bullet. I don't know, man.
Is the field clear before you start putting something in there, Janice?
Shoot, Terry, I don't know.
The other thing is I had an issue. I was trying to put my Hotmail account in there, and I thought it was an Outlook account, And so I kept trying to put in my credentials and it wouldn't let me. And I had to choose something else. I can't remember if it was other or what it was, but make sure that the type of account that you're entering, like Gmail or Microsoft, or make sure that that matches when you put it in. I'm not sure if I'm making any sense, but I know I had to do some fiddling around to finally get my Hotmail account to go in there.
I know in that field where you put your password in, if you double tap on it, and usually it'll say end or beginning. So try to kind of double tap, and if it says end, slide your finger up from the bottom right-hand corner up to it says delete. Double tap that until you hear it should be a click every time you double tap, delete a character. When you get them all out, you should hear a bump noise, so you know it's all clear. That's the best I could do. I'm not very good at sound effects, but once you hear that thump, that means you're at the beginning and it's all clear. Then try putting it in.
Yeah, and then after you put your password in, check them, you know, just verify, flick away from it and back to it. I mean, just right next to it. And you'll hear how many characters that you put in. So that'll verify to you that, yep, that's how many characters it should be.
Okay, we'll lick our calf over and try again.
And the caps and lowercase is kind of tricky too. You know, you have to make sure the caps are in the right place and the numbers are in the right place, that kind of thing.
I have a problem with the rotor when you're trying to say you're reading an email or you're on a web page and you want to go by characters or words or lines, depending on how much you want to see, especially characters. If you want to see how something is spelled. And I get it. I get it on the rotor to characters or whatever. And then when I go back and put my finger on the site to flick around to make sure it's on the word that I want it to spell, I lose the word, the character function on the rotor, and it doesn't stay focused. I guess that's the easiest way to describe it. And I don't know if that's just a bug or it's me doing too many things at one time. But I can have issues with that.
Okay, once you get to the word that you want to spell, right in that same area, don't move your hand away from that particular area. You may be losing focus on it. Go ahead and rotate to the characters and then start flicking up and down.
Oh, so you keep your finger on the word with one hand and then use the rotor with the other?
Well, you can use the same hand, you know, just all you're doing is just turning like a knob to the left. It's usually lines, words, characters. And then once you hear characters, then you can start flicking up and down, depending on if you're at the end of the word, you want to flick up. If you're at the beginning, you want to flick down.
What I do, and no, she doesn't mean keep your finger on it. Like, say, if there's a line, I was in Copenhagen. Copenhagen's what you want to figure out how to spell it. So you can, if it's a line, you can go to the rotor and go by word and, you know, go, I was in Copenhagen. Once you hear Copenhagen, use the rotor again, go to characters, and then just start flicking up and down. So you shouldn't have to go back on the web page and search around. The rotor's not taking you away from where you left off, unless you hit the screen by accident and then you move the focus somewhere else, if that makes sense. So, like I said, you just flick up or down with the by word, Copenhagen. Spin your rotor to characters, and then just start flicking up and down to go letter by letter.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's how I do it, too.
I hope it helps. Anybody else?
I was not able to find anything on Spoken Bar. There is a setting in my phone, but I can't get it to get a pop-up. It's called a spoken content or something like that. So let's turn this on for like a button to show up when you have selected text. So I guess it'll read whatever selected to you. But I can't get a bar or anything to pop up. I've turned it on. Maybe it'll recreate it at some point. But I can't find anything on the web for the spoken bar. And could that be the media bar, like the volume? Or is that separate? Have you ever played like a podcast or music and you got the pause, rewind forward buttons, and then there's like a selector bar?
It's actually the speaking bar, not the spoken bar, but I'll have to look and see if I can find it.
I have the iPhone 8, so I might not even have it available on my phone, but I have seen it. But I was looking.
Yeah, I don't think I had it until I got my 2020.
You know, the thing about VoiceOver is there's so many settings in there, and a lot of them, I'll go through the settings and I'm going, I have no idea what they're even talking about. It's just really complicated, some of it.
Here's a hint if you know looking for something, and well, it's the best when you know what it is. Like for this one, you guys could try, because I tried it on mine. When you open up settings right at the beginning, before all the different settings that are in there, there's a edit field. You can tap on that and then type in speaking bar and see what results come up.
That's a good idea.
Oh, in that search field at the top of the settings tab?
Correct. And then you once you type it in, just flick to the right. After the dictate and clear button, it'll give you results of whatever you typed in.
So, Hank, if I was looking for, you know how you can tap on the back of your phone to get certain things? If I was looking for that, what would I type into that to be able to find that?
Back tap.
And that kind of brings me to another thing that I was going to talk about today, is to how to set up your back tap. It is extremely easy. In the accessibility area, there's a place called Touch. And in that area, you'll find back tap, and you can add a gesture to the back tap. Now, I set my app switcher to the triple tap, and I still have not assigned the double tap yet. But let me tell you, when I'm in Netflix and you cannot get out of it, I'll triple tap the back of my phone and it'll bring up the app switcher so that I can close that app out. That has been a lifesaver since I've activated that.
Cheryl, is there only two things that you can set up back there, either a double tap for something and a triple tap for something?
Those are the only two things I saw. There's also shortcuts that you can put in place. Judy knows about that. She uses it to read text on her iPhone, or you can set all kinds of shortcuts up. I've also implemented the shortcut for reading text via Seeing AI. If I'm looking at a box that I want to read the text at, I'll just tell Siri to read text, and it goes right into Seeing AI and starts reading the text. It's amazing.
I have a shortcut set up for currency with Seeing AI, and that works really good.
Yeah, getting back to that search box and settings that Hank told us about, if you double tap on it and you're in there, if you do a two-finger double tap, it'll put you in dictate. So you can go one, and you can say what you want to search for, then double tap again with the two fingers, and it'll be in there, so you can search that way. So if you don't want to mess around with typing it in.
That two-finger double tap is actually referred to as the magic tap, and it's also used to start and stop audio. It's really cool.
Yeah, worthwhile. I use that in a lot of search boxes. I'm not a good typer, so, or a good speller.
I am a good typer, and I still use that a lot, especially for longer text messages and stuff like that, or I'm just being lazy to type something out. Yep, two-finger double tap, say what I want to say, two-finger double tap again, and I'm done. Usually repeats it to me. If not, I just go to the edit field. Like Cheryl said, flick away, flip back, it'll read it to you. And if it's a text message, then I flick to the right and double tap on send.
After you've done that, whether you type it in or you speak it in, do you flick once and you go right into that department?
That only depends on where you were before you did it. I always, especially if I'm starting a new text message, I go to the edit field. I double tap on that to open up the keyboard. And then I don't move it. Like a lot of people will go down all the way to the bottom near the space bar. There's a dictate button. You don't have to do that. As long as you keep focus inside that edit box, that's where you do magic tap, speak, magic tap. And then in a text message, the send button is just to the right of that edit field. So like if you put focus on delete, it's not going to be a flick to the right. You're going to have to move your finger up. You know, where that edit field and the send button is kind of between the edit field and all your text messages on the right. So kind of in the middle of the screen, if you want to look for it.
So, yeah, to get into something or activate, it's generally a single finger double tap. The flicking is when you're moving from one element to another.
And I know there are a lot of beginners in here. Everybody know, like, the difference, what Cheryl just said, like, flicking, what that means? I mean, it's kind of obvious, but some people, the terminology, it's all tap, swipe, flick, you know, what does it all mean? Does anybody need help with that at all?
I don't know. I may have asked this last time, but is there a difference between a flick and a swipe?
Technically, yes, but not really. Most people use them interchangeable. Some people call a swipe more what sighted people do, where you put your finger on the screen and then you're like sliding it up the screen. So you're moving it in a continuous line. Flick definitely, and sometimes a swipe, is when you're just like say what you would, somebody would do, see, I don't know, sighted people can do this easier too. If there's a crumb on the table, you just take your finger and flick it off the table, or, you know, flick it to the side. You're just giving it a quick smack to in one direction or another.
Okay, so here's the difference between a slide, a swipe, and a flick. So whenever you open your phone, if you don't have a home button, it'll say slide up to unlock. So then when you want to get to the app switcher, you're sliding all the way up the screen till you hear the noise. That is a swipe up. So the flick, like Hank said, is just like little short gestures, left, right, up and down.
I can remember back when I had some sight, and somebody would be reading a book. They'd take their index finger and take the page to the left, and then just flick it to the right quick. I've always remembered that, and that's kind of what you do with an iPhone if you're flicking right or left. You flick the page, you know.
Correct. That's a very good way of, you know, analyzing it. But, yeah, a lot of people would lick their finger first to flick the page, but yeah, that's basically it.
But I tell you what, once you get those gestures mastered, the iPhone is just nothing but joy.
I wonder if it would be helpful to talk about the different ways in your settings that you can set up your keyboard. I know it's been a while since I've had to do mine, but, you know, it just came to mind that last night I was having to type a password in, and a lot of what you deal with when you're typing in passwords is the way the site has it. Like, I always like to have my keyboard where it, when I slide across the street screen to find it, or if I kind of have a sense of direction, what letter to go to, that it still verifies with a phonetic, you know, like T, it'll say Tom or something like that. But then on some password things, it'll just make a click. And so you, depending on how you have your keyboard set up so that you don't press the wrong thing, I try to set, and I forget what that's called, how to have that verification. Other than some sites, when you're typing in a password, will say show password. And then you can actually go back and look at what you typed to make sure you typed it right. And you can go by characters with your with your rotor to make sure you typed your password in correctly. I know that's a lot, but that can be really, really frustrating when you're first starting out and trying to do things typing with your keyboard.
You have said a mouthful there. Yes, I totally agree. I think if you put it on where it echoes what you type, like it gives you double verification, that's very helpful. Or if you have caps, it'll say caps, or the phonetic is, because a lot of these letters sound the same, especially if you have a hearing problem. The E's, P's, T's, C's, B's, they all sound the same. So you really need that phonetic working for you. I think, is that in VoiceOver settings or is it under keyboards? I think it might be under keyboards.
I don't remember. I think it is under keyboard, although it is kind of a spoken thing, so or under speech in VoiceOver. I have to look. Does VoiceOver have a keyboard section as well? I think it does. Might be there. And then there's also the type of ways of typing. Unfortunately, I don't remember all the names. Some of these things, long-time users, we've set it up a long time ago, and then you forget all the names because you don't never go back and switch it. You can type. Some people type by, they move one finger to the letter. They hear what it is, and with another finger, you know, usually the other hand, they tap. And it types in a letter. Some people move your finger to the letter that you want to type. You lift your finger and then you double tap and it types it. Then you drop your finger, move to another one, lift it, then double tap. The way I do it is I slide the finger to the letter I want. As soon as I lift my finger, it types it. I drop my finger, move it to the next letter I want. I lift it, it types it.
You're an extreme advanced user. I am not that good at it. So I am the old find the letter, double tap. That's how I do it. But it's basically what works for you is how you want to do it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. And as far as the passwords go, most of them you still hear the letters as you're looking for them. But as soon as you type it, you don't hear the letter that got inputted. And you're right, only certain apps or sites will have a button to say show password. But as far when you're typing it, you can still hear the letters you're going to type. At least I can. And before I forget, I meant to say this last week, not to change the subject, but it's still iPhone. There is an app in the App Store called VO for VoiceOver, VO Starter. And it's basically, it's kind of a more advanced, I don't want to scare you with advanced, but it's to practice all your gestures on the iPhone. Like your swipes, your three fingers, your double finger swipe down, up, all the different types of gestures you can do on the phone.
Has anybody mastered using the Braille keyboard? I could never get my fingers right. I mean, that... When I first got my phone, I thought, oh, that'd be cool to just type on there like you're typing on a Braille writer. But I never got that to work.
I'm talking about on the screen itself, I have tried it. I'm like, well, I'm not very consistent. It's hit and miss with me. So I was like, oh, no, it's too frustrating.
I do not type Braille. I mean, I know a little bit of Braille, probably like half the alphabet, never finished learning. But I've heard a lot of people say they have more luck with it if they put it in landscape mode. So it's a wider screen. That's about it. I've heard some people can do it well. Other people have trouble. Like, I guess if, you know, your fingers shift, you know, not consistent in a line or something, it can throw people off.
Yeah, you're right. I think landscape would work a lot better for something like that. I don't think I would like it. I never tried it, but I much rather have like a typewriter type keyboard or a computer type keyboard. I think it's so much easier. Because the other way, you'd have to have more fingers on the keyboard, I think, and it would be more difficult.
Well, I need tactile. I need to know where the buttons are, not guess where the buttons are. So, like I said, but as far as if I have to do any extensive writing on the iPhone, I have a Bluetooth keyboard. So I use a combination of gestures or use my finger to get to where the edit field. And then if I have to type a lot, then I'll turn on the keyboard and it'll activate. And then I'll just type what I want, turn off the keyboard, and then flick to send or finish doing what I'm doing. So the combination works well for me.
Hank, I used that VO tutorial when I just started about 3 or 4 months ago, and it was most useful for me. I just couldn't figure out the phone. But at least it got me used to knowing that you got to do a whole pile of flicking with this thing.
I was on a phone call and I heard Chris Ann ask if anyone was familiar with the Braille input. Was there any response to that?
She was talking. I do believe when you're actually using the actual phone to input Braille. I know you use a Braille keyboard, right?
Yeah, I use the keyboard on a Braille display.
There wasn't much of a response. I don't know Braille. A lot of people have trouble doing it on the screen. The only suggestion I had was, from what I heard, is doing it in landscape mode is easier because you have a wider screen, you know, because you basically have 4 fingers going across, or 8 fingers, you know, both hands. But since I don't use it, that's all I can comment. I don't know if there are any tricks or tips or hints to get it to work better or set it up.
I think that's one of those things where you have to really play with it and find out what works and what doesn't work. And I haven't really put a lot of time into that. Okay, any other questions? Any comments?
Great class as usual.
Yeah, nice job. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, I appreciate it too. You're very good at explaining how things need to go.
Yeah, we appreciate Pink's input there too. He's pretty knowledgeable.
I was just going to say, yeah, Hank's a great addition to our class. My goodness. A lot of great questions and a lot of great topics.
Cheryl, is it possible to get a copy of that audio file put in my Dropbox? You and I have a box, that little one on the single finger or the tapping that you played?
Yep, I can send that along to you there, Rod. And anybody else that would like it, I can also make it available to you.
And the copy of the recording will be put up. I'm not sure if I remember how to do it, but I'm going to try it. Our friend Parker is out of town right now. He usually does that part. I usually upload it to the server, but he has to make the link to the server work. So, but I think I remember how to do it, so I'm going to give it a shot.
Yeah, thank you again, Cheryl, for doing this. It's the stuff is basic enough that I'm even catching on.
And that's an items of interest under what, classes or something like that, Terry?
I'm sure it is. That would be where it would be under classes and something. I'd have to go look myself because I'll have to know what category to put it in, Becky, so I'll have to check.
I think Parker said it was under audio classes or something like that. But with that, I would like to thank everybody for coming in, and all your input is very valuable. Hank, thanks for being my sidekick. You're a great help in addition to the users group here. And I just will see you in 2 weeks. So everybody have a great afternoon. Thank you so much for coming.